Until we pray, Heavenly Father, now that you're here in the form of the Holy Ghost, in a pillar of fire, we've gone through the days of the Son of Man, knowing the prophet and knowing God our prophet, knowing these things, Lord, that you set forth in this hour. We realize we know them not just in a shadow, we know them in increasing reality. We also know, Lord, that without you revealing yourself to us, we will never know that you and the truth about yourself and your ways and all those things that are so pertinent. So, Father, we pray that you'll be gracious to us this morning to keep us in truth and just help us with what we need to know, O God, to be not just those who are thoroughly conversant with the subject, but are imbued with the subject himself, a real word, Lord, that the life might come forth through these bodies of flesh, O God, sanctified to you. We're asking your help this morning, and we're believing at least in a measure, Lord, for it. And we commend ourselves to you, therefore, in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now, last night we were looking at the fact of a Melchizedek priesthood, and we are not of those people who try to make something of it as though we are some great people and we're some kind of a priesthood. I think you got that from the message, that was not my thought. It's a matter of being in service, even as Jesus came not to be served or to be ministered to, but he came in order that he might minister. And we read a little bit from 1 Peter and the second chapter, and he said, "You also are lively stones built up into a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." And then in the 9th verse, "You are a chosen generation." I think that has to do with the election. It has to, because you see, it's chosen. "A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." That's a people for a possession. The word "peculiar" is signified by a circle with a dot in the middle of it. "That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And of course, the constant praises to God that Jesus Christ did live a sacrificial life, and he was a righteous servant. He was a servant to all men. Now, many, many people, I think without meaning to, bring these two verses of Scripture into line with the thought that we are to give the sacrifice of our lips. And this has more or less devolved into, then, in Pentecost, a great form of worship, which is verbal. And thereby, they bypass the true meaning of what would be a spiritual priesthood, which would be the people serving God by serving mankind and serving each other, and loving God by loving mankind, especially loving each other. And remember, I forget just the incidents, but I'm sure that most of you can remember if you read it yourselves, how that it was said concerning the old Christian saints in the first century of how they loved each other. And that love can only be manifested by an action. You know, even if it's an action of the eye. Remember how Brother Branham said to his mother, he said, "Ma," he said, "Mother, if you can you hear me, just bat your eyes." And she'd bat her eyes. He said, "Are you saved?" She'd bat her eyes. Well, sometimes there's just a little love light in a person's eye, just a glance or something. That's an action. And something of sympathy, something of empathy, something doing always for each other. And we're not in a rat race as though we're trying to win souls. We're trying to do something. It's a natural outflowing of the Spirit of Christ. And I'm just letting you know that Brother Branham gave many tests concerning the baptism with the Holy Ghost. He said the major one was to be in the Word. We understand that, to believe the Word, to acknowledge it. But he also said, "All right, let me give you a test." He said, "How many people are sighing and crying because of the sins of the country?" Why, he said, God went through the paper with an inkhorn today. How many would be marked by the angelic inkhorn, showing that people are sighing and crying? The best we can do is a little bit like old Lot. You know, he was so fed up that his righteous soul was vexed. I don't think his soul was too righteous, if you ask me. You know, the way the old boy lived. But we give the Bible credit for it, not trying to, you know, get rid of the Bible, the Word of God being holy. See, God gives credit because He looks on the inside, and there was an imputation there, but the old boy was vexed to a certain degree. Well, how much really are we vexed? So, we looked last night at the principle of a priesthood wherein we could begin to judge ourselves. Are our lives really those lives that we enjoy doing for people? Like Brother Branham said, you can't wait, he said, for the church door to open. You know, I used to look at Brother Branham and say, boy, I don't got that. Sometimes I kind of wish the church door didn't open. Now it's come to the place where I could just live in the church. I feel better up here in any place in the world. I feel, you know, sometimes I stutter around. I'm not a stutterer, but I can be nervous and almost stutter. But when I get up here, something begins to happen because there's anointing on a word of God. Amen. And you know, so I can't wait for the church door to open. And I don't know when I wanted the church door to close. Unless I'm finished preaching, everybody's standing around here talking, and I want to get home. But other than that, you know, it's. But so we look at these things and we see that there is an evidence of the Holy Spirit, and it's not just a matter of receiving the Word, because Paul said that I understand all mysteries and have not love, and Brother Branham said that was the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm absolutely nothing, I haven't got it. So last night we were looking at this thought here of the of a priesthood of a people who love each other and who do for each other and are considerate of each other and put themselves out and lay their neck on the block and things like that. And you know something that's so missing, brother, sister, it's so missing. We've got a little hardcore here in the church, and I don't know it's in everybody. I trust it isn't everybody. I don't put anybody to one side. Myself, my family is as though, hey, they don't have it. But you look around and look, we're not dumb, we're not deaf, we're not blind, we're not stones, we're not inhuman. We know, brother, sister, when we're in that divine flow. We're not kidding ourselves. Well, said Terry, all said, our people, you hear it on tape, we're a tiny church here. And being a small church, everybody knows everybody's business. Who you kidding? You know all my faults, I know yours. Maybe I got a few secret sins you don't know. Come on, try to find them out. I wouldn't be too hard. I live outside just same as the pulpit here, except I maybe watch my language a little better here because I've got a little more circumspect, a little more grammatical, you know, a little more to the place where you can read and understand the same. But anyway, that's what we had last night in our minds, and I just wanted to let you know, because a little reiteration, a little going over it, helps to impress it on you that it's something that you must pay heed to and begin to check yourself, because you can stop the divine flow by your own senses. Not your sensitivity, but your senses. A sensitivity means you're really getting behind something, getting where you're empathetic to it. See, so we're looking at for people. And God is looking for a people. As he even said to the foolish virgin, he said, look, he said, when I was in prison, you came. When I was hungry, you fed me. Naked, you clothed me. And so on. They said, well, when in the world did we do that? When did we do that? We don't remember anything about all. He said, when you did it to my brethren, then if that's done to the brethren, what should the brethren be like? Now, let's answer our hearts this morning, brother, sister. Where are your lives? Where is everything about you? You could reduce this thing to a financial thing. Forget it. There's a lot of things more than financial. Yeah. We can start there as an illustration, but you got to go deeper. See, that's something we look at and say, now, listen here. That's where the little widow lady, the little washerwoman with her 1 to 3 tapes can make it. As Brother Branham told Billy Paul, there's some in the message this much make it, and there's some that much and never make it. Then again, how much is the message in you and me? See? So it's a little guideline, a little thought here. Now that's not the subject. I'm going to go to my subject, which we were starting, which we were with last Sunday. And we were looking at the fact that Brother Branham said over here, if I can find where he said it, can't seem to find anything. I'm looking for it, but you know what that's like. See, what page am I on? Oh, I was on the back of it, wasn't I? Or was I? Well, somewhere in here anyway. That's funny. I saw it a minute ago. I guess they got too many places marked up. But anyway, if I never find it, it's here. And you don't know what it is, except I tell you. Which makes it awkward. But anyway, Brother Branham said what we study here in Melchizedek is what every... Oh, here it is. I didn't mark right. Oh, brother. When Abraham met him, that's God. God was Melchizedek. That's the character, the role of the act. And he unfolds here, in this what Brother Branham is teaching from that portion in Genesis 14, he unfolds here what all the attributes, that's the sons or the seeds, will do in the final end. Every son of Abraham, that would be every spiritual son, every child of God, every so-and-so, every son of faith will do absolutely the same thing, but I want you to watch how we have to come. So what we did here, the last two or three times, what we did was to realize through the principle of Alpha and Omega that what was in the end was in the beginning, and what was in the beginning was in the end. So like Brother Branham said, you never bother too much what's in the middle. You just watch both ends. Now, he said, up until the time of the opening of the seals, till this day, nobody had to worry too much about the token. Well, the token had not come, because the token's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But the token had come in the sense, and the true sense, that the a token from the token was given to each individual, because it started Pentecost when the token came, Christ in the form, God in the form of the Holy Ghost, Christ in the form of the Holy Ghost, in a pillar of fire, and a little flame, a little lick, came from each one to each one from the central cloud, though the central cloud was not diminished. It was just like the Spirit of God lighting the spirit of man or the soul of man, the spirit of man being the candle of the Lord, and God binding that one back to himself, showing that that one was an original child of God from the very beginning. All right, now, all through the ages, Brother Branham said, you could get away with joining a church, and you could do this, and you could do that, the other thing. But he said, now, without the token, you'll never make the exodus. And that's true. There's nobody going to get out of here. Not that you could be bribed without it before. But there's nobody that's in the will of God, in the divine flow of God, in the bride of Christ, that is not a part of the baptism with the Holy Ghost, does not have a part in it, and recognize the token is here. Now, so we go back to the very beginning. I thought I had a green. Oh, I do. I got one here. We're going to go back to the very beginning up here, and we're... That's not green. That's not right. Somebody's got a wrong cat. See, that just shows you. If a brunette dyes her hair blonde, you still got a brunette. Right? Yes, sir. Don't you? Brother Brand said, you can tint your hair if you tint it the color it used to be. All right. We'll start up there, and this will represent a circle which will represent the eternal God, and there was nothing before him because he is before all things, and you cannot understand eternity, you cannot understand God. There's no way. Now, if he were invisible to us, we could say, well, all right, I can recognize God because there is a certain form there attached to it that gives me the ability to know that God is within that form. So therefore, that's why Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And that's as far as you go, because he said, no man can see God and live. There is no way. There's no way, no man at any time has seen God. The only begotten of the Father, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has led him forth and declared him by words. He's described him to you. He's made him plain. And if you don't listen to word and understand what is there by vindication, forget it. You never had a part in the beginning. Because you got nothing to understand with. That's the same as a little eagle. Brother Manna said the eagle couldn't understand how the chickens could be so happy picking in the north heap with the old man and saying, cluck, 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 cluck. And he was just ready to, you know, bounce their heads in. Because he ate fresh meat. He couldn't take it. He was just always in trouble with that bunch of gooks in the barnyard. And one day his mammy came flying over and screaming. He said, that did it. Well, he said, just jump up. Well, he said, I never jumped before. He said, well, come on, you're meant to jump. He said, you'll see what happened. He jumped and pretty soon he took off. He was going back, you see, to his origin. All right. We're talking back here of the origin of all things. Now, what we want to do, we're making some dots in here, And because Brother Branham speaks of attributes, which he speaks of the seed, which he speaks of the soul, which he speaks of sons of faith, sons of the Spirit, sons of God, and that's right down the line. He's used about 6 or 7 different appellations in this message alone. Now, what I want to start with this morning is what I talked about one time before, and that is we are missing out on the understanding of reality. We look at this Bible, and the songwriter says God had a plan. Oh, beautiful, lovely plan. So now God begins to work a plan. So as he works the plan, he begins to work all things into his plan, and everything is nice. And so we see a sort of an impersonal, M-I-M, impersonal thing. Now, that's a lie. That's the devil's lie. Because the devil is a part of that, and he is very impersonal, though he is personal. And one day he's going to be annihilated. And all his rotten, botched up devils with him. Even every mosquito that bit you is going to be annihilated. I have no use for mosquitoes. Every germ will be destroyed. So we are not looking at the impersonal when we talk this morning. We are looking at the personal. We are looking at the personal God who had a son. Now, Brother Branham said, let us just with spiritual eyes see a light form. He did not say God created a light. He said it formed. Now, when you use the word formed, it means something is molded from that which is there. When you use the word create, it means nothing is there, and you make something, so something will be there. Now, he said a light began to form. So if a light began to form, and he said it was like the sun, he said, call it the sun, call it the Logos. He said, all right. They made it all the same thing, Son of God, same thing, right down the line. And he said, like a child playing around his father's door, so we put him there. Now, look, I'm going to change that this morning for a very good reason. I'm going to do this. Now we have a picture of God in the role of sonship. Whether you want to understand or believe it or agree is up to you. This is what I understand myself. We have in the role of sonship. Because this is the Son of God, and God is in the Son. Because the Bible distinctly says, and always again we use the understanding that God never changes. When he does a thing once, there's no argument. From that time, it's always the same. And the Bible says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And Jesus himself said, God is in me speaking the words, and God is in me doing the things that I'm talking about. So it was not Jesus doing it, it was God in Christ doing it. And Brother Branham categorically told that as the Christ, as the Son of God, as Logos. Now, I'm just not going to argue with anybody. I just believe a prophet. Now, the reason I say I put it around here this time instead of out here, although perfectly all whichever way you want to put it, is because believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Now, let us look at this thing to begin with. And understand where we're coming from. Well, we'll do it by going to the scripture, and we know the scripture in John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So therefore, as Brother Branham said, if you make Jesus the Word, and we're talking now of the human being, you make 3 gods. You have, even with my speaking here, very close to a Trinitarian concept, that we're looking at a great fountain that bursts forth into 3 components. But that's a lie. You couldn't get 3 if you tried. Because the Holy Ghost, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, it's not God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, because God the Holy Ghost is the whole of it. That tells what it is, or a servant, it says, what it is doing.
So you eliminated one of them. You might as well come back to the truth of the word. It said God had a son, period. Now, in other words, God in the form of sonship is what you're looking at, which you're looking at Logos. Now let's look again. The word Logos comes from the word Lego. And I'm quoting Vincent, and he's one of the best authorities. And in the word Lego, there are four components as root meanings. Number one, to lay or to spread out. So that would mean whatever is there, you're going to lay it all out, spread it out. Then number two is to pick out. You'd categorize, put it in sections. Then you would gather it. In other words, there would be a blending, a unity, a cohesiveness, and then picking up, which would be to package, put it on its way. In other words, if you're looking at God here, and you're looking at Logos, you are looking at the great infinite mind being exactly what he was and is and ever will be. And within himself deciding exactly what he himself is going to do with himself. Now, whether you like that or not, I can't help it. And I know it's over our heads, but I still can't help it. Because there's nothing there but God. He hasn't made one speck of stardust. There isn't wind blowing. There's no leaf on any tree because there are no trees. There's nothing. It's absolutely God. So we see that Logos is the understanding of what the old member was to the Hebrews, which they equated God to his word. That's why Brother Branham always equated God in the word, and that's exactly theologically correct. But you know people don't want to believe that. So here we have God. Now, what I'm bringing to you before I go further is this one thing. If we were, well, I'll use the little green dots here. If we were here, we are not looking at plan. See, we are not looking at plan. We are looking first of all at sons and then a plan. Now, married couples marry on the grounds of a physical attraction. And the physical attraction of the likeness brings forth children. Now, let's say that a couple, like Abraham and Sarah, have great plans for this son. Because Abraham is a rich old boy. He's loaded. Now he says, Sarah, when we have this boy of ours, and he'll have at least 300 camels by the time he's 4 years of age. He'll have 1,000 servants. He'll have the pick of all the beautiful girls, because I can go anywhere with my money, get him the finest wife and wives anybody'd want. But not just then. What if he doesn't have a son? Well, we could have a daughter. And I'll get her the finest husband in the world. He'll be met, doesn't have the rich, because I've got enough for everybody. What if he doesn't have a daughter? What's use of planning? So you see what I'm trying to drive at? This. God, it was already here. This is where we fail in our relationship to God. We cannot seemingly come to the place of recognition. And this is what killed Brother Branham as a prophet. God in the prophets, God with a skin on it. Well, how could it be possible that William Branham could be God to the people and God could be in him to the extent that William Branham said the pillar of fire is standing up inside of me now? Oh, hogwash, what a blasphemous, terrible thing. But just a minute now. What about you said you received the Holy Ghost? Well, you see, Brother Vale, that's very impersonal. That's not making any great claims. That is just the mercy of Almighty God that he saw a poor blasted sinner, blasted with sin and degradation, as dark could be, and maybe some weren't quite so really black and horrendous, and we were just a little paler, like a nice rich brown color. But God in mercy, hallelujah, looked down upon a reprobate, a swine, and a dog, and by divine alchemy, by the Holy Ghost, changed me into a lovely sheep. Have you ever heard such blasphemy? The changing of the species. Because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. This is not just rough preaching. This is hard to understand. I can't get it myself. But I'll preach if it chokes me and kills me. And this is where your lips sacrifice, and this is where you sweat. And I'm sweating because it's hot. It's Judy's fault because she didn't like my coat last night. She said, verse, I'm smarter. It was wool last night. It's warm out too. But here you are, see? It makes you sweat spiritually. To even dare to claim, I came from God and I go back to God. I want to ask you, where do sons come from? The Bible pinpoints it from the loins of the Father. And Brother Branham explained it. He said, because you and your mother are one. And that's exactly the word of God, because Adam and Eve were one. And if you think the same God can't bring the egg, the right egg, and the right sperm together, you sit here dense, dumb, and unspiritual. As Brother Branham said, the virgin birth is nothing compared to a birth that God, going way back, your great, take it all the way back. Because Levi was in the loins of his great-great-grandfather Abraham. So where did you and I come from? See, we are not looking at a plan, my brother, my sister. We are looking at God, where God is all and in all. Now that's the first thought with the little thought this morning. Whether we take off or not, who knows? So let's get down here a little lower. We're going to get down here to the earth, which is very dark, and put some of you brown people in there because you just weren't half bad. You weren't killer dogs. You were just dogs marking around, you know, cussing and stealing, but you weren't killing. You weren't real black dogs. We'll put you down here, though. Down here, we'll put some of these dark people, just brown people in here. Yeah? Not Lee Vale. Ain't going to do that. We're sure what he's going to do. He got these people down in here. There's a whole lot of them. There's just maybe thousands of them, but not millions. Of course, over here, he's got these over here. And they look like that. And there's hundreds of millions of those. See, when the light strikes, this one turns all white, and light strikes, that turns all black. Wrong seed, see? Okay, he's down here. Now, how did he get down here? See, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the fact that God had all these seed up here. And we're going to put a touch of green here. Is that blue? It's kind of green, this. These colors are so poor. Or my eyesight is one of the two. I never know. Then the caps fall off and I don't know where I'm at. This is blue. That's green. Okay. Up here. Now, these sons here got to get down here, and they're real sons of God, and they get sealed in by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost comes upon the body. That's why this body, when the Holy Ghost comes, through the Word of God, turns perfectly white. So the whole being is now subject to the Holy Ghost. And this little part in here, being eternal, didn't need the Holy Ghost, except to bind the lost son back to the Father and show that he's now sealed in. The Holy Ghost comes upon the body, making it immortal in the sense that though it dies and evaporates, it'll come back in the resurrection. Now, we go up here in the beginning, and we see this whirling light around here. And what I did in the beginning, I like to take this over here because it, this way it becomes unique. See, it becomes uniquely what I got in mind. Brother Branham said, the only difference between us and Jesus, now let's get this as far as the pattern is concerned, not the intrinsic essential depth, not the true personality, but all were sons. And Jesus was the only begotten son, and that in the Greek signifies one and only, never was, never has been, never will be anybody with his uniqueness. He is the Son of God as nobody else is the Son of God, and God is his Father as God is the Father to nobody else. That's what we're looking at. So, we have it out here just for the sake of not argument, but a fact. Now, Brother Branham said, he said, this light began to form and appear. Now, there was nothing there in the beginning except God. So then, what will this be? Whatever you see will have to be God in a form. In other words, God formed. Not God creating now to make something, but God forming himself. Now, Brother Branham did say Christ was the beginning of the creation of God, which the Bible says in over there in the Revelation chapter 1 about verse, maybe chapter 3 about verse 14. He said that was God creating himself in the form of human flesh. But you'll notice right there, this is not a creation in human flesh. This is where he said God formed. So therefore, it's something. Now, he said this is a theophany or a spirit body. Right. Spirit body. Now he said, you and I bypass it. Come down here. Now, not here. No, 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 no. Just down here to these, right here. Nothing. You can't have any other type. See, but now the reason I make that very black is because the Son of God is apt to, can do, and many times will do everything that a sinner, a seed of serpent will do, except he will never blaspheme the word. But in his actions, he can do everything just as much and even maybe more. Now, I realize that Stalin never got saved and Hitler never got saved. I don't know about a lot of other. Genghis Khan didn't get saved to know that, but Paul got saved. And he was an instigator of murder. In fact, he was worse than a hitman because he got the guys to do the hitting for him. Now, what do you think is worse? You think a guy egging somebody on or doing himself? I think the guy that eggs somebody on to get him in trouble is a worse jerk than the guy in a messy, stinking mess than the guy that, you know, just does it on his own, does it. That's the truth. If you don't believe that, how come that people shouldn't then get onto these drug peddlers? Any man peddling drugs should be destroyed. Kill him. Shoot him or hang him or inject him lethally, whatever it is. I don't care what it is. And I'm not out to just kill anybody, but look, that the Bible's the Bible. So I say, Brother Branham didn't believe it. You're wrong, Brother Branham did. He said the reason he couldn't endorse capital punishment, truth early, was because he said the rich man got up and the poor man didn't. Because every time, usually when he got a black man, then of course they killed him right off the bat because he was no count. He didn't have a soul as far as they were concerned. But that's a lie. Everybody's got a soul. So, all right. We find this coming on. We find these coming down here. And they are bypassing this body. See? They cannot have that. They come down here in order to be tested by sin. Now, Brother Branham said that. Now, what we find in the future home of the earthly bride is the picture of what is down here, which is the consummation of life in a physical form according to wisdom. Do you hear what I said? It's the consummation of life. See? In physical form, according to the plan, that's the consummation of the life that was up here. In other words, Brother Branham told us that we have a, well, we'll just make this Well, I'm going to put this, the Lamb on the throne here. And here's the pyramid. Down here, that's the city. Across here, there's going to be a wall. A wall there, and out here are all the non-bride, foolish virgins. In here, I just put these different colors for the sake of contrast. In here, of course, there's all the people are gone. And we'll make this in here where the Lamb is. And above it, the pillar of fire. Okay, gone. Now, at this particular time, you will notice that the ages have been consummated. Everything is completely finished. And every son of God that died in Adam, and that's going to be virgin wise and virgin foolish, because the only difference is the pattern, Brother Branham said. There's no difference. And you can see on Judgment Day, white throne, they enter in eternal life. See? All of these people here, we've come to the place, what do we have? We have God now with plan, devoid of plan, because the plan is consummated concerning redemption. And what do we have? We have the Lamb, the unique Son, only begotten one, who is the head of the church. And Christ is head of the church, and God is head of Christ. And down here, we have all the other. So Brother Branham said, we are not Jesus only. We are not Trinitarian. We stand between. Now, it's hard to understand, but that's the end of it. Now, if Alpha is Omega, this is what was actually there. It was there. But now, God formed and created and formed in order to do this. Now, we're at the end time. There's no doubt about it. We're right at the end time. So, let me read some notes here. He said, we're not Trinitarian, we stand between them and Jesus only. For we saw that through the divine principle of Alpha and Omega, there is one God. Next, there's God's only begotten Son, who is also the captain, or our brother captain, we're called, of all the rest of the children. And finally, there is the sons of God. And they are in their own order, exactly as Brother Branham told us, as the word tells in 1 Corinthians 15, and 21, and so on. Well, it says in 20, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now remember, there are several begottens in the Bible. This is one of the begottens from among the dead. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now the thing is this. Did we all die in Adam because of what Adam did? Absolutely. Then will we be all alive because of what Christ did? Absolutely. You see, we're not dealing with happenstance or chances. We are not dealing with the plan. We are dealing with reality, which alone is God, because he said, I am the way, the reality, and the life, and there's none beside me, and this is reality in view, the way God wanted it. And God can present himself and do with himself anything he wants. Now, let's understand up here. There is a bunch of people who believe this is the Elohim of God, and we're all gods. We are not all gods. We are God's sons. We are God's children. That's why there's one God. And the life of God does not constitute the making of many gods. It constitutes a race. A peculiar people. A chosen generation. And the Bible tells us, he shall have a seed. And that seed is what you see right here, into manifestation. Okay. Alright, so we see the divine order. Christ the head of the church, and God the head of Christ. Is that what the Bible teaches? It sure does. Look in 1 Corinthians. At this time it can be seen that God is once more manifested, revealed in three. Because God is God. That's what he is, up there in the pillar of fire. Giver and sustainer of all life, the father of all his children. Number two, and there is the Son who is the part of God, a part of the life of the Father. Because God said the part of God went out. So therefore, essentially, you see, when you see sonship, you see God in a form, and it's always, that's why God created all things by Christ Jesus, because he was in that form to create. This here really is God, in God's own godness. And hey, just a minute now, let's understand this, that we bypass this. And Jesus said, give me the glory I had with you in the beginning, and he said, glorify me with thine own self. Take me back to my theophany. get me right back there. Get me right back where the whole thing was God, not just principle, but reality. And the same thing is we bypass this. And Brother Branham did not change the meaning in the King James Version because it says we have in heaven an eternal body, a spirit body, a word body waiting for us. So therefore, eternal had no beginning and no end. But we missed it. But if you die, you go back and get it. That's why Brother Branham said so passionately, don't miss it. On the curtain of time, not the miracles, not resurrection, not this and not that, but that vision was the one that did something that nothing else could do. It was the same with the Apostle Paul. You see, reality struck the man that he could stand there and say, I am God to the people. And we can say the same thing. I am a lesser God because I'm a demigod. Well, how do you know, you crazy nut? Well, that's my business and not yours. You wouldn't believe it anyway. Shows you got no part in here. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about all of us giving your testimony. See? And there is the Son of God. See, on the Lamb, who is a part of God, a part of the Lamb. You say, well, just a minute now. Just a minute. Aren't we a part of God? You know, this thing, life, is such a peculiar thing. Let's digress, and I'll let you go pretty soon because I've got to watch the time. life is such a peculiar thing. Here, let me get my little brown seeds here. Little brown seeds, little brown seeds, little brown seeds. And by the way, I have taken handfuls of seeds, just handfuls of different seeds. I have got flax seed, I have got rose seed, I got wheat seed, I have got the oat seed, I have got, the good things like quinoa and, you know, and good things like, what do they have? Millet, you know, the good things that you people don't like to eat. I don't necessarily like them so much, but you'd be surprised how good pancakes are made of quinoa flour. Delicious. If you don't know how to do it, well, you should have to suffer to learn. Now, what happens is I'm going to cover all these lovely seeds up with dirt. Now, the rain comes down and the sun comes down, and what happens? Okay, up comes this plant. Up comes this plant. And we're going to run out of plants, but you don't mind that. Oops, that's the dirt. Where are we? Well, now look, we'll do something like this. We'll get different plants, see? Now the point is this. This dirt is one common chunk of dirt. And I can get it analyzed, and absolutely every single thing in that dirt, these plants draw on, and they take from this one piece of dirt, and they come up with as many as 150,000 different kinds of plants. What did it? Not the soil. No. Not even the genes. It's the life beyond the genes that did it. Because the life determined the genes when the life had something to work on. So you see what I'm talking about? A life up here. And that life absolutely determined the genes, determined the characteristics, determined every single solid thing. So it didn't matter what the substance was. So God, out of one substance, one chunk of clay, can bring forth every one of his attributes in every child till he gets a beautiful church just the way he wants it, washed in the blood, full of the Holy Ghost, bring it back without spot, without wrinkle, and is the glory of God, the assessment of Almighty God, what lay in that light that could not be seen. So what am I trying to tell you? The whole thing is of God when it comes to life. See? That's what Brother Branham can say, only a man. Look at this teacher, only a man. What do you mean? Only a man. I say, only a man. You and me, only a man. Always goes by passes everybody. Because you see, they cannot see, as the Greeks came to see Jesus, they couldn't see him because he was veiled in his tent of flesh. And the Greeks want knowledge. And the Jews want signs. And neither one will take the knowledge of God or the sign of God. They want their own stupidity. And the Greeks haven't changed. Oh, that wasn't nice. Neither of the Jews and neither of you and I when it comes to race. So what we're looking at, generically and genetically. Generically and genetically. As a race and what lies within it. Absolutely God. And down here is the same thing. That's why the Bible warns, don't judge any man's servant. Under his own mastery standeth the fall, and yea, as God is able to make him to stand. So here we find here, and there is the Son who is part of God, a part of the life of the Father. Amen, he is. So much as to be the fullness of the attributes of the Godhead, and generically and genetically, God creating himself into human flesh from that start. Because that's where God started. Because the Bible says that's what it was in the beginning, and then it became flesh. And you notice the word made is always the word become. From this mucky, filthy clay and the horrible minds degraded by hell, television, everything else, and get here. Because it always was. It always was. See? The metamorphosis is a negative one as we come down. But as we receive Christ, it becomes a positive metamorphosis. Bible says so. It's a renewing of the mind. Now, number three. Then all the other sons come. And this is not, as I said, just a plan, but this is the destiny of God. God worked out his own destiny. So I know it makes our minds boggle. The trouble is, we are spending too much time on everything but this kind of a subject. That's our trouble. I'm going to kid you not. Now look, I'm involved in it deeply because of my nature and what I have from God as a gift, as I believe it is a gift. I don't spend near the time on, but I spend lots just thinking, looking, wondering. And I'm not a prophet. I can't hit the nail right in the head. I hammer around. May go kind of crooked, but I'll get that nail in there by the grace of God. I'm not worried. Don't you be worried either. I tell you the truth in Christ Jesus as far as I know it. All right. It is to be noted that when the Son was begotten of God, the description is Hebrews 1 and 3. Now, in Hebrews, we're going to look at some things here that are pretty fantastic if I'm right. Who knows? Now, who being the brightness of his glory? Now, the word glory means the assessment. In a comparison. If you say a thing is glorious, you say, hey, this beats everything. See, this is the assessment. This is glorious. This hits the nail on the head. This fills the bill. There's no words for it. How am I going to talk about it? It's beyond me. Who being the outflowing of God's own assessment, the express image of his person. That's where Trinity comes in. And they miss it. And upholding all things by the word of his power. That is in the beginning. Because God, by Christ Jesus, created all things and maintains them. See? Why? Because nothing was ever done until this. Always you'll find the Son dealing with word in obedience, manifesting. I don't care whatever you go to, you'll always find it there. It's always there. This is the same as in John. Now, he says here, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down. Okay? I read you the first part and stopped at the last part. Who being the effulgence, the outrage of his glory, the express image of his person, and of holding all things by the word of his power. Now hold it, he didn't do that when he was in the flesh, and the flesh didn't do that. The flesh said, my Father's doing it. The flesh didn't claim anything. But notice then it says, He purged our sins by Himself. Spirits can't purge sins. Spirits can't bleed. Let's go back to John and find what he's saying. It's quite simple, I believe. I hope it is. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is with God. The Word was, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. The life was the light of men. See? Now I could just drop that right there, after three. Not anything made that was made. Then it says in verse 14, and the Word became flesh. There's a becoming. In other words, there's a metamorphosis. There's something there because of what was there in the beginning, and if what wasn't there in the beginning, this wouldn't be. And neither would this be if it wasn't there in the beginning. As Brother Branham said, if you didn't have representation there, you ain't got it here. Now pardon my English and my grammar, I use that on purpose because it's a little more bombastic and gets to the point. All right, this is testified to by Jesus. Let's go to John, the 8th chapter, and the 42nd verse. And he says, and Jesus said, if God were your Father, you'd love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. He said, if God were your Father, you'd recognize that He is my Father in a way He's not your Father, but we got the same Father. Paul understood that. For he said, both He that sanctified them that are sanctified are all of one source, which is God. All right. Also, we go to John 16. 27 to 31. And He says here, for the Father Himself loved you because you loved me and believed that I came out from God. You know the word born means to issue forth from. To beget means to cause to conceive. There are different expressions. I came forth from the Father. I'm come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Now this is where you listen to the disciples. Can you believe the disciples would say this? Now, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverbs. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things and need not any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. He said, do you now believe? Remember Brother Branham said that Jesus didn't bypass His theophonic body, so therefore... And you know what? That's exactly how they knew He was the Memra or the Logos. Because you see, when you deal with this, you positively equate God and the Word, and you equate God and His Word to moving in action and visibility. And He said, now we know that you are the visibility of God. I don't follow this too good, Terry. These guys had something I don't have. But we got the same thing in a way. I look at this so many times. He said, I came forth from God. I can understand this in this respect. When you see a ministry like that man had by the Holy Ghost, you would have to say, God's in this thing, period. And when Jesus came on the scene, and He did what He did with Lazarus stinking, His face caved in 4 days of that hot weather. I mean, stinking, rotten mess, the body going to liquid. They looked and they said, there's got to be God in this somewhere. And I'll tell you, if I was at that place, and I saw Jesus do, I would have to say, God's got to be in you, boy, because somebody's in you that we ain't got, nobody's got. Or you've got a contact. And if you want to tell me God's in you doing this, I'm not going to gainsay it and step around and say, hey, I don't believe that. I'm going to say, I'm going to believe you, and I'm going to stick with it. Let it take me where it will. That's where we stand with this morning. Let it take us where it will, hell or high heaven. But I'm not interested in moving. I saw too much. And I saw what these jackanapes haven't got. These guys that write their books, these stinking, unholy, unvirtuous, rotten seed of the serpent write their books. They ain't got it. Look, I've been around. I've seen the best in the 20th century. Don't talk to me. You're talking to the wrong guy. Go and start your own church. Buzz off. Happy to get rid of you. When you leave him. He said, now do you believe? Have you finally come to the place where vindication means something? means everything. Let's get it flat. You know, Mr. Quayle may have Redford's good looks, but that's where it ends. A lot of churches take the name of Jesus, but that's where it ends. They bear it in vain, and God will not allow his name to be borne in vain. Where do we stand as little Jesuses, Messiahs? We better come home to ourselves, too, because chickens always were. It is also noted that no other sons of God are like unto the only begotten Son, for God brought forth of himself and out of himself no others like this one. We came out of flesh. Thus, here we see the conception of the mediator and intercessor. God being his own mediator and intercessor. Because he comes between. Right? Is this not between this and this? Was not this here previous? Did we not bypass this? Do we have any memory? No way. Now we know thou knowest all things. He didn't bypass it. God simply reduced that by his life forming an egg and a sperm. It had the power to absorb from the flesh, from the earth, and bring forth a child. Thus, this one between God and all other sons that are called men. Here we are right here. Here he is. Here he is. Here he is. Alpha is Omega. If Alpha is not Omega, I am teaching you false. How can I be teaching you false when the vindicated prophet said that? You tell me. God brought forth this one that in him and by him and through him, God himself would be fully manifested and God's will might be fully done. And you know it's the truth. He said, for this purpose am I here. Then what purpose was he there? See, that throws a different light on things. If you don't understand Alpha and Omega and realize this is one of the greatest principles taught to us by Brother Branham in the Future Home of the Earthly Bride is where it is. No, the Masterpiece. Right, Masterpiece, that's what it is. You just do yourself a favor and look it up. This is thoroughly exemplified in 2 Corinthians 5 and 19. I read it to you. God was in Christ. Where the principle is set that God is in Christ doing his entire will. With that, we can prove it by reading John 14, 6-11. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the reality and the life. I am the reality. God alone is reality. No man comes to the Father except by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said, show us the Father. That'll suffice us. Jesus said, have I been so long with you and you have not yet known me, Philip? Jesus said it, but who was saying it in him? He said, my Father speaks the words. Gives me the words to speak, what he tells me to do. Have I been so long with you and you not know me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Right. Okay. Here's a rose up here. He that has seen the rose has seen the rose light. Here's a dandelion. He that has seen the dandelion has seen dandelion light. He that saw Christ saw God light. That's right. Pillar of fire. Unequivocally God. God in the pillar of fire. The Shekinah glory, that which is attended upon the personal presence of God. God personally there at Mary's, the begetting of the Son Jesus Christ. Because that's what the scripture said, with the personal presence of God, all things are possible. That's why we sing that verse here. Now that you're here, all things are possible. Let's keep reading. How do you say then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Now Paul says, in him we live and move and have our being. Where do you do that mystery? Paul said that's the way it is. All things are made by him and all things are maintained by him. Then we here in him we live and move and have our being, but this bunch here, Oh, they got a lot of theology. Oh, they're smart. They got all the answers. Hey, we've gone back 45 minutes, haven't we? You turned it over? Well, that's nice of you. I got no end to quit. All right. These here, they're so great, great, great people, they turn all black. They can't say, in him we live and move and have our being. But these people here, in him we live and move and have our being. And then he comes down and makes us all white, thank God. Now, with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, everything becomes subject. Subject to God. Amen. The Word. God doesn't lie, brother, sister. People lie, but God doesn't. His holy prophets don't lie. Okay. Did I finish reading? Now he says here, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or believe me for the very work's sake. Now, the point is then this. The works that were manifested proves to this bride here that'll soon be there, because remember, it's already white throne. There's 24 hours and a few seconds before we're here. That's all. One day. What manner of people we ought to be. First, before we ever ought to be, we ought to recognize who we are in order to be, because we have to be in order to be. We have to are. See? We have to be. We have to was before we be. The same yesterday, today, and forever, just like our big brother. Just like God himself. See, you can't change. That's why Brother Branham said, hey, he said, look, you never did sin. What was he talking about? This part here? Or this part? This part here? How could God lose himself? How could God lose a part of himself? See? It was in the body that sin was. Romans 3:20. We'll go to it later on. Now, watch verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Do you believe that? Okay. Let's go back to where we were reading in Hebrews, the first chapter. Again, in the third verse, who, being the effulgence, the outraying of his glory, the actual assessment, as Brother Branham said, Jesus was the fullness of the attributes of the Godhead, generically, genetically. Here he is, the express image of his person. Look at this rose is the express image of the life rose. This dandelion is the express image of dandelion. You are the express image of you. Why do you want to change your features? Got a bunch of Hans around us. Jessica Hans, a prostitute with the Pentecostals. Nose bob, ear bob, just kind of bob. Boy, she won't have to have much to turn to stone. She's got enough silicone in her now. There you are. Women take the church. I'm nothing against women. I love my sisters. But I ain't taking no nonsense. They create a lot of it. They shouldn't do it. Men follow right behind like a bunch of fools. Prove that every single day of your life. Related to... never mind the subject. Hold it. Let's go back here. Being the brightness, the effulgence, the outraying of his glory, the expressive of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. See? That's the pre-existent one. Brother Branham said he was there before, pre-existent. He didn't bypass the theophany. We do. We haven't got a memory. Okay, now just a note here. Now we notice that Jesus did not marry and bear children. You know, everybody thinks that's a possibility. Well, it is in the sense of the word, but let me tell you something. If Jesus had a married, he'd have married a hybrid, and the kids would have been hybrids. I'm going to tell you why. Because the original Adam was given Eve, and she was in his image, and she was a helpmeet, which means she was an identical species. Find me a woman identical species to Jesus. You can't do it. He would have had a bunch of bastards. That's why, though, he could have physical desire because of male organ, the same as you, and women with the same problem. There was no way he was even interested. That's what the Holy Ghost can do to men and women. Not some cranky old bachelor that's a jerk and some stupid, sour old maid. We ain't got any of those. You may be Spencer. We ain't got sour old maids around here. Got natural living human beings, and I appreciate that. I like to see males that are males and women that are sensitively female. God help us from having homosexuals around the place. Or even bisexuals. But they're both going to hell anyway. AIDS will soon take them out of here. There was really no way he could because there was no other one of his kind. The only kind that he had was these here, and it wasn't in the flesh, it was in the spirit only. You can never know Jesus by the flesh. He didn't want any flesh. He just came and took it in order to have blood, which was the blood of God. Because look at here, all of this, the juice and everything in here, is the juice and the texture of the life. Every ounce of blood that Jesus had was from that in the middle of there that produced it. It was Jesus as the blood of God, the book of Acts tells us. You say, how can it be? I just told you. Don't understand it. Who cares? I don't understand too much either. You don't have to. Just believe it. So, now then we see God the Father starting a God race or a family. He has a son in his own image. Christ is the image and the essentiality of God as a son. It says in Hebrews there. See, Hebrews 1 and 3. God in sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. And notice now, what was this one? Who being the outreigning of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. See, that's where it was in the beginning, and that's where it always will be. So when he came in flesh, he had to be that one. God manifested in flesh, in the role of a son, simple as ABC. Because here was God starting the formation from attributes, but down here when he came in flesh, all of God moved into him. Brother Brand said, God reduced himself to size as sperm and egg. Mystery, who cares? It's a mystery. I like it just the same. Here shows that God is son in the form of sonship. It says right here. Then God stops right there. There's no more sons. Right at this point here, God stops right there. There's no more sons like that. And they all come down through here. See? That's how he does it. Then God stops right there. No more sons in spirit or word bodies. God now makes or creates and forms man. Because the Bible says so. Now, this is a step down because God says, let us make man in our image. He doesn't say that these sons are the outraying. No, they're just attributes within themselves from God, each an attribute. They're not what this is here. He stops it. And he said, let's begin to do something about these. So he makes not a theophonic body, but he forms in here then this other body. Adam and Eve. And he said, now they're going to be the ones he forms and he creates. And he said, they're going to want to propagate the earth. Now, where did their life come from? It came from God. So they will be responsible for producing demigods. And, of course, they fell into sin. Every child of God then died in sin. In other words, separated from Almighty God. You know that separation. The Garden of Eden, they died. They're separated from God. But they went on living and living and living hundreds of years. But finally, within the day, they died. Nobody lived to be 1,000 years of age. Only the lineage brings them back, you see? Okay, now, how much time we got? We'll never finish. 25 minutes. I think I better let you go. I know we're at a real interesting place here. 25 minutes. No. Do you mind if we quit? Too bad. I can't hold you longer because this would make the day far too long. Too many here. I got just a little bit of notes left, but I got little too many scriptures. Okay, we'll stop right here at this point where God ceases. He cuts it off right here. The only begotten Son. No more. He moves into this realm and come on down here. See? And then my next step, and if you read carefully in the book of Hebrews, you are going to find a split picture of Jesus Christ and the sons of God. And you are going to find one in the beginning, previous to this. And you'll find one down here when he comes down to take on a form of flesh. And they work in parallel. And you can see why Brother Branham said, we came exactly the same way, and every son of God will end up the same way, the same as Jesus leaving his theophany, died and went into hell and preaching it. We go and get our theophany when we die. And if we don't die, we get glorified and pick our theophany up, but we complete the whole plan of God, so it's all of God, and it's a manifestation of God. In other words, we're looking at reality. That's why Brother Branham said all the time, he said, put your hand up like this before the light, then move toward the wall, and your hand will fit exactly the shadow. And he said, we're running out of shadow. And he said, wouldn't it be strange to have an elephant on the wall appear, a shadow, and a little spindly man show up as the real thing? How can you be elementally here in the negative of God, and the negative is the physical form, and you being positive in here of God and not end up here exactly? Just like the Son of God, the Lamb. See? That's why all things are of him and for him and to him. That's why you got a perfection. That's why we're not dealing in generalities. We are not dealing in plans. We are dealing in God, brother, sister. That's why I said so many times, I'm sorry for these faith healers and all these people out there. They buy God for nothing, sell him for billions. God's a pretty shrewd businessman. He'll want his own with interest. He said so. I don't want to be in their place. It's bad enough to be in my place because I may be saying things I shouldn't be saying. I don't know. But I feel no check. I don't understand it all. I cannot. My mind cannot comprehend it. But I can understand enough to know that's what Brother Branham said. And that's what I am going to say. And if I don't understand it, I don't care because I bypassed it. Then there's certain things, my brother, sister, that even if I didn't know, I couldn't utter. Be no way, it's not meant to. We've got to wait. You love the Lord this morning? I love the Lord in my own little crazy way. You know, not too deep, not too great, but I'm glad I love him. I'm glad I love God's people. Many times I get a little bit anxious because I lay my neck on the block for them, then they turn around and not only chop my head up, but they kick me when I'm down. But that's all par for the course. If you didn't get that, you wouldn't be like Christ. And the big thing about us is we complain when we get these problems. We should never complain. We should look up because we know our redemption draws near. And you say, what if it wasn't drawing near? Well, mine's drawing near because I'm going to get out of here somehow. I'm 74 years old. I can't live too much longer. Praise the Lord. No, praise the Lord. Come on with me, you guys. You know, let's rise and be dismissed. Praise his Heavenly Father. We thank you again for your kindness, your love to us, O God. Your goodness wherein you shower upon us from heaven, Lord. And we know today, as we've never known before, and thank God, it will be dynamized to us, that this is not a plan. This is a real conception. It is a real birth. It is a real metamorphosis. It is reality. And though we call it a plan, that's ridiculous, really, because we know, Lord, a life is not a plan. A life is a life, and out of the life, there comes those things that look like a plan. But it's a life. And so, Father, we're so grateful to know in that great day, there will be nothing, Lord, except you and your own elect, which are not truly created, but in a sense are informed. And then there'll be your creation, which you desire to have there, but they live by you the same as we do. And it'll be wonderful. And it'll be more than wonderful because we will be fully aware of the things and know those things which we didn't know, and we'll be so comfortable with them, and it'll be so wonderful, that as we cannot remember that which was previous, neither shall we remember that which is now behind us. But eternity will go back to eternity. And Lord, we know we're just talking this morning. It's just kind of like steam coming out of our mouth. We know we're saying the truth. And God, if it's the truth, then we know that your word in our mouths is the same as your word in Christ's mouth or any great prophet of God. And you stand behind your word to perform it, Lord, and will bring it to pass until this living word in us makes us total living word in the unhybridized, beautiful form that you wanted, and we, Lord, in ourselves know that we want. And thank you for the mercy, Lord, you've given us. Now be with each one, Father, our dear friends that be departing. We know, Lord, going back home tomorrow, we want you to be with them, journeying mercy, safety, Father. We do not pray to bring us together here upon this earth, though it sure would be nice. But we pray, Lord, won't one of us miss each other on that great day over there when all things come into perfect and fullness of view. So, Father, we just ask you now, may your word dwell in us so richly, the love of Christ, the Spirit of God in the midst, until every sick one amongst us healed, O God. Surely, Lord, that shouldn't be too hard when we realize I stand up here under anointing, which I believe of you, and the words of you, Lord, and I don't have a pain in my body. I don't have a care in my soul. I don't seem to have anything, Lord, except just life flowing like a river from the throne right down here, Father. Then how much can this word do, Lord, for us in the marketplace, in our homes, every day of our lives? Surely it is a healing message. It is a living message. It is a great word. And so we thank you now for fellowship, for good friends, for the love of God, all these things, Lord, for life, breath, all of these things we thank you. And unto you be the praise and the honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.